Okay, Matthew 28. This is the other account that we're going to be looking at this morning. I mean, we've all heard many, many Easter messages, I'm sure, over the years. But I've been reading Matthew 28, thinking about this Sunday for the last few days. And it was only really yesterday afternoon, we were watching the boat race on Channel 4, that I suddenly thought, yeah, this is definitely something that I want to share as a word of encouragement for each one of us. So if you wanted a title for this message, it is There. T-H-E-R-E. There. So just keep that in your mind. And just to recap from what Jen shared a bit last week, obviously, last Sunday, Palm Sunday, there was great excitement around because Jesus was coming back and people were thinking he's going to overthrow the authorities. So there was a lot of hope, expectancy and excitement. But then obviously, there's Maundy Thursday, Last Supper and then Good Friday. In fact, Gemma had and Barney, who's our seven-year-old grandson, asked Gemma, why is it called Good Friday? Mm-hmm. And Gemma asked me, well, why is it called Good Friday? But I explained as best as I know how, is that it's good because he takes all the sin of the world on him so we can be free. So that's why it's good. And then obviously the Sunday comes, like today, it's hope is back. And just through that whole story of Palm Sunday, Good Friday and Easter Sunday, it's just like life, isn't it? Up and down.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what they experienced. And Jesus had to do what he had to do. But the people around him had to experience the ups and downs of life. And we do too. But as I say, it wasn't until yesterday, watching the boat race on Channel 4, that, and I think I knew this in the background, but you've got the eight in a boat. They're just the power. They're not seeing what's going on. It's the cox who's the one that steers the boat. And that gave me a thought that, they don't need to know where they're going. They can trust on the cox to actually steer them. So it's a bit like us in some ways. Just keep our eyes on Jesus. Mm-hmm. But the cox, every time that they're rowing in synchronisation, that's really important when you're right. I have actually rowed in a late. When I worked for the bank, we had this day, because NatWest had a team, I don't know what you call them, a club. On the River Thames, and if you wanted to, you could enter your eight of your people in your branch to go and row against other people. So we did that. It was chaos. You've got no skill. You've got eight people in the boat, not knowing what they're doing, and it was just chaos. But it was great chaos, good fun. But there was one point when I think our team suddenly got. All the oars in the water at the same time, all at the same time, and suddenly you could just feel the energy. You could just feel you're cutting through the water, and then somebody missed. It's called cutting a crab. They actually missed the water, and it all goes out of sync. And then you're dead in the water, and there's oars everywhere, people everywhere, language everywhere. Yeah. It's just quite interesting, but. These professionals, the professional cocks, will actually say there when the blade goes in the water. I don't know if did you hear it?
No.
But I listen to that. Blimey, yeah, God, you're so great how you just. I love it when he speaks to me about certain things. And it's just. And he knows the cocks when they're in the water at the same time. And he says, there. He knows there's the power when all the oars go in at the same time and they're pulling at the same time.
Yeah.
There is that there. There.
Oh, I feel
it. It's just power. I thought, that's just amazing, God, that you actually are saying, why would they say there? Why wouldn't they say in or pull or whatever? But the word is there. You look it up on Google if you don't believe me. It is the word there that cox uses when those oars go in. And it's, he knows that's the sweet spot. And basically the message is the sweet spot of Jesus. It's the there. So let's just read this, because when I was reading this in the week, the word there stuck out to me. So I'm going to read from the Passion Translation from Matthew 28. After the Sabbath ended, at the first light of dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to take a look at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth shook violently beneath their feet as the angel of the Lord Jehovah descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him and his robe was dazzling white. The guards were stunned and terrified, lying motionless like dead men. Then the angel walked up to the tomb, rolled away the stone, and sat on top of it. The women were breathless and terrified until the angel said to them, "There's no reason to be afraid. I know you're here looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen victoriously, just as he said. Come inside the tomb and see the place where our Lord was lying. Then run and tell his disciples." I love the detail, don't you? Just go and tell the disciples. Run and tell the detail. Run and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. I give you this message. I am going ahead of you in Galilee, and you will see me
there.
Very good. There. They rushed quickly to tell his disciples, and their hearts were deep in wonder and filled with great joy. Along the way, Jesus suddenly appeared in front of them and said, "Rejoice!" They were so overwhelmed by seeing him that they bowed down and grasped his feet in adoring worship. Then Jesus said to them, "Throw off all your fears. Go and tell the brothers to go to Galilee. They will find me
there.
So in the earlier part of that, it's, you know, see me there. You will find me there. The whole point is that it's there. He said, you will find me there. And I suddenly sort of realised that, yeah, he is everywhere. When I was reading it, we know that. He's an ever-present God. He's always there. And Jeremy, you've coined that phrase. What's that phrase? Wherever I am, I'm supposed to be there, or something like that.
Or never where I'm not meant to be.
Yeah, it's there. Everywhere we go, he is there. Anyway, let's move. We'll move past the bit where the guards are paid off, basically, to say, don't kill anybody. Then he goes into the Great Commission. So at the end of Matthew 28, from verse 16, "Meanwhile, the 11 disciples heard the wonderful news from the women and left for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still had lingering doubts. Then Jesus came close to them and said, 'All authority of the universe has been given to me. Now, wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you.'" This is one of the key verses. Apart from the word there, this is a key verse. "Never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age." I would like to sort of pose that word there is, you know, his presence. His actual presence. So wherever his presence is, things have to change. Things have to change in our own lives. It's there. And that Great Commission is the more. You know, we've been singing about it. That is the more of God. And that he is there for us everywhere. In 26, I found out something else, that after the Lord's Supper, so this is on the Thursday, and we're going to take communion in a minute, but there's another interesting situation where Jesus prophesies Peter's denial. And along the way, it says here in verse 31 of Matthew 26, along the way, Jesus said to them, "Before the night is over, you will all desert me." This will fulfill the prophecy of the Spirit that says, this is in Zechariah 13, "I will strike down the shepherd and all the sheep will scatter far and wide. But after I'm risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and I will meet you
there."
There. So he's told them he's going to meet them there. And I think just for us, it's just that encouragement. Whatever we're facing, he is there.
Mm.
We probably all know that, and we probably all believe that, but sometimes...
We forget it.
Well, you can forget it, or just you're so wrapped up in what's going on in your soul. Our soul is our mind, our will and emotion. That can really take over our lives, and it's easily done. We can all slip into that where our soul takes over, rather than our spirit, which is in direct communion with God, takes over. Live by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning, just to sort of finalise this really, I had the word fruitfulness this morning. What does there look like? So it's great that we're there with God in a situation, but what does that look like? And fruitfulness was the word that came to mind. And in Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit. So if we get to that place of there, and did you know that there is in the Old Testament, this is a sidetrack, and I remember a Corbis van Rensburg, an amazing preacher from South Africa years ago, probably 20 years ago, he talked about the mercy seat, which is on the ark. You've got a cherubim that are like that, right in the middle, underneath that. That is the mercy seat of God. That is the presence of God. And you know, back in the Old Testament, that's what they do. They used to take the ark around, and the presence used to go with them. But that presence now lives within us. Old Testament was, it was still there. And then, I can't go into this, but in the Old Testament, if you're talking about the ark, that place there, that word there, is in that place where God's presence is. So it's Old Testament and New Testament together. Anyway, back to the fruit. Fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love. Various expressions, and this is from the Passion Translation. Joy that overflows. This is the outflow of being in that there place with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with Father God. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue or goodness. Faith that prevails. Faithfulness. Greatness of heart. Strength of spirit, and that strength of spirit is self-control. I think that's one of the greatest ones, is self-control. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Oh, there's another bit in there somewhere, but I can't remember where that is. Anyway.
It's there.
It's there. But there is the place where we meet with him in every single situation. That's our first place to get to, is there, because he's already there, ready to meet us.